This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Lost in the forest. Have you ever spent years of your life with someone just to find out none of it was real? I had met Andrew when I was 22, working as a bartender for a shitty hole-in-the-wall bar. He was an incredibly outgoing individual that effortlessly brightened the day of anyone who was within 15 feet of him. He had made the lonely closing shift of a dead Tuesday enjoyable, and after I got off of work, me and him met up for coffee and waffles at a nearby diner. The chemistry we had was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before, and it wasn't long before we began dating. Andrew became my rock that I could always rely on to keep me grounded when the rest of the world was caught up in a squall of chaos. He embraced my love of B-movie horror, and I accepted his enthusiasm for the outdoors after weeks of convincing me on his part. Andrew was the life of the party, and while there were times that I just wanted to stay in and binge slasher movies, he would tease me for being a homebody and drag me out of the house to meet up with some of his never-ending swaths of social circles for bowling, laser tag, house parties, or his absolute favorite, the late-night hike through the forest that stood behind the shitty bar I had worked at when we met. It had been a major milestone for me when I quit the bar 6 months after Andrew and I met. With his support and encouragement, I started my own business in a niche field that I was actually passionate about. While the money wasn't the best, I loved the work that I do. And even the worst days are still better than having to mop up bodily waste from someone who had too much to drink. At a 40th anniversary showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Andrew proposed to me during the "Damn it, Janet" scene. His collection of friends, who had grown on me fast and became my friends as well, hooted and cheered for us and took us out for celebratory drinks after the show. Since that chance encounter 2 years previously, my life had become my own personal heaven. The work I did now was fulfilling. I had an amazing new group of friends, and I was now engaged to the best man I had ever met.
"Hey, I found the perfect place that we should go for a nice picnic and hike,"
Andrew told me as I was grabbing the last load of laundry from the ancient dryer in Andrew's basement.
"I was hoping that we could just stay in for the day, Andy. Since I moved in, it feels like we have been going nonstop,"
I replied, tired but not annoyed at the suggestion. After his proposal, I moved into Andrew's two-bedroom house. It was quaint, but there always seemed to be another little project that needed to be tackled. With both of our work schedules, there never seemed to be enough time in the day to fix all of the little quirks the house had.
"Oh, come on, Christy," he said, wrapping his arms around me and giving the side of my neck a kiss. "Wouldn't it be nice to actually enjoy a 3-day weekend we have to actually get out and have some personal time together?"
I moaned, as his soft lips and blonde facial hair brushed against the side of my neck.
Ooh, all right.
I guess it would be nice to spend some time together, just the two of us. Despite moving in together, we hardly had any time to ourselves. The mass of friends were always constantly inviting us over and out to celebrate the engagement and to offer help with planning the wedding. It had left us little time to ourselves, and the chance to be alone in nature would be nice. This place that we're going to go to has a nice little spring with a few nooks and crannies out of sight from the main trails. Andrew informed me as he hurriedly threw supplies into his hiking bag. The mischievous look on his face made my face redden.
"Andy, you naughty boy,"
I said before playfully swatting at his butt. He returned the gesture with a pinch of my own butt before tossing the bag over his shoulder and nearly dragging me to the car. During the 3-hour drive to the national park that we would be hiking through, I had dozed off. As we finally arrived, Andrew woke me with an excited expression.
"Here we are, miles and miles of trails, a chance to really connect with nature."
He beamed with a smile that brought one to my own face.
"Where did you even hear about this place?"
I asked, shaking the last sleep from my eyes before sitting forward.
"Sam and Frankie were telling us about it last time we met with them to go bowling, don't you remember?"
"Not really, with all the friends we have and ideas tossed around, it's hard to keep track of everything."
"Lucky for you, I have a steel cage for a mind," he responded, lightly tapping his temple with a finger.
"More like a rusty bear trap," I teased as I mocked a rusty trap closing with my hands. We shared a laugh before we parked and set off for our hike. Andrew had planned a long trek that would bring us back to the car a little before dark. I was glad that I had worn an old outfit so that I wouldn't have to worry about getting covered in mud. When I asked about who would be doing the driving back home after we had hiked all day, he had teased me not to worry, with the promise of a stay at a motel that we had passed 20 minutes before we had arrived, a place I would have seen if I had not fallen asleep. With satisfaction at his call ahead and carefully laid plans, we set off into the forest for our day of just the two of us.
"Isn't this the same outfit you wore when we first met?"
Andrew asked, his eyes feasting up and down on my body.
"Yeah, I thought I'd just throw on some old clothing since you wanted to go on an intense hike,"
I replied, snapping my fingers to get his attention. We both laughed as we ventured further down the trails. An odd thing I noticed while we hiked was the strange absence of other people while we hiked.
"I thought you wanted time together, not with a horde of others," Andrew said as we stepped on top of a cliff with an old picnic table where people like to rest before beginning their descent towards the spring.
"Of course I want time without a ton of other people. I just think that it's strange that we haven't seen anyone else while we've been out here. I mean, it is a holiday weekend. You would think that we would have passed by some other wilderness enthusiasts or gung-ho parents dragging their kids along to get away from technology for once in their life."
"This is a pretty big place. We probably have passed by others and didn't even notice them,"
Andrew said as he sat his bag down on the table and stretched his arms. I smiled as he took off his shirt and stretched his taut form. I took a few steps towards him and gave him a peck before I spoke again.
"Take a picture with me," I said, leaning against him and fishing my phone from my pocket.
As he wrapped an arm around me, I lifted my phone up and took a picture of us.
As I went to take another, a large buck jumped out from behind a nearby tree, startling us both. In slow motion, I watched as my phone leapt from my hands and down the cliffside to the unwelcoming arms below. With a faint crack from below, I could feel my heart drop to my stomach. Fuck, fuck, fuck! I dropped my fucking phone! That stupid fucking deer made me drop my phone! God damn it! I could kill that shitty fucking thing! I yelled out in frustration.
Whoa there! I think you might have broken a commandment there, Andrew said, placing a hand on my shoulder.
I'm glad you think this is such a joke, Andrew.
I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. I'm sure we'll be able to recover any photos that were on your phone. Plus, it was old anyways. And I'm pretty sure that you've had the same phone since we've met. I know you've been wanting to upgrade for a while, but haven't really had a chance.
He said as diplomatically as he could. We made our way down to where we were sure the phone had fallen. And luckily, we were able to find it. The phone had dived straight into the soft embrace of rocks and branches, and the shattered screen was more than enough evidence of how useless it would be. Andrew pulled a plastic bag that had once contained a trail mix and placed the destroyed phone inside before stashing it away in his hiking bag.
First thing tomorrow, we will go and get you a brand new phone. The best one they got, even if it means I gotta sell a kidney to get it for you. Andrew said, trying to cheer me up, obviously aware of my disappointment at losing the collection of memories of our life together that had been gathered on my phone.
We continued on towards the springs, crossing over an old wooden bridge that created a groaning with every step as we crossed over it. The entirety of the short time we spent crossing it, my whole body was on edge at the overwhelming sensation at the bridge threatening to collapse at any moment. With the momentary hazard passed, we found our way to a pleasant spring resting beside a cliffside. The gurgle of water leaking out and falling down onto the rocks below created a serene background besides the rustling wind and crunching of leaves and twigs as we approached it. Leaning forward, Andrew cupped his hands and brought a handful of spring water towards his mouth before sipping at it.
"Are you sure you should be drinking that?"
I asked, thinking about what things could be contained in the water.
You drink spring water that's bottled with millions of microplastics in it. At least this is straight from the source.
Andrew said as he splashed his face with the spring water.
You know, there's a little overhang here that we could...
Andrew trailed off as he made a gesture with his hands.
I'm not really feeling up for it. I'm still irritated about dropping my phone and don't think I'm really in the right headspace for that.
I said, noticing a momentary flash of rage cross Andrew's face before it shifted to an understanding look of disappointment.
Well, you should at least try this water.
He gestured to the water as he spoke before glancing absently into the distance. I tried a small sip of water, and the taste was heavy with a strange metallic taste. Just before I was about to comment, Andrew was already stepping off towards the trail. When we approached another bridge, I insisted that Andrew lead the way as it spanked across a rather steep decline. After he proved the structural integrity of it, I began crossing for myself. Just as I made it halfway through, a horrid crack from the wood echoed through the air. As I fell through the bridge, my hands stretched out to catch myself. The nails on my left hand dug into the wood before being ripped out as my weight jerked my body below. In the briefest of moments, I looked out towards Andrew. A malicious smile greeted me as I tumbled towards the earth below,
and was embraced by darkness. As I regained consciousness, I was greeted by the sight of a stag's skull wrapping its long tongue across the bleeding fingers of my left hand. I screamed out in terror, only to be greeted by Andrew's worried face, gracefully holding on to my left hand.
"Thank God you're okay,"
Andrew said, slowly setting my hand down and helping me sit forward. My clothing caked in dirt, and a long tear down the right side of my jeans with scrapes and cuts leading to the missing shoe on my right foot. I tried to reply, but he hushed me to conserve my energy. He told me he was going to climb back up and try to call for help as he didn't have any signal where we were. I tried to beg him to help me back up, but he was already walking away before I could form the words. I raised my undamaged hand to my head and was greeted by a sharp pain on the side of my head and a small wet patch of blood. Panic racing throughout my body, I forced myself to my feet. It felt like hours since Andrew had gone off for help, and it was now well into the night. I stumbled my way through the overgrowth and began my slow ascent up the hillside back towards the trail. Upon finally reaching the trail, surrounded in the darkness of night, I looked around for any trace of Andrew, only to be greeted by silence. The sounds of wind or wildlife were missing, and the only audible noise was my labored breathing and rapid heartbeat drumming in my ears. Dragging my way back to the spring, I greedily drank from the water, ignoring the odd aftertaste. Glancing at a small pool of water at my feet, the shadowy reflection I saw was a skeletal form of myself. I turned away as tears filled my eyes. Pain rippled through my body as I shambled through the dark, my head swimming as my vision blurred.
"Christy, where are you?"
Andrew yelled out in the distance before he rounded a corner, coming into view. Calling out for me in Andrew's voice was an 8-foot monster. Legs bent backwards, connected to a skeletal torso draped in baggy flesh that stretched and shifted to attempt to mimic the human form. The swollen and bulbous head had two antlers poking out as the mouth of broken teeth chattered together in the attempt to form a smile as the thing hunched over to greet me. I was stunned into silent horror as the beast with Andrew's voice reached out to me.
"You had me so worried."
The familiar voice struggled to say through gnarled teeth as charred hands wrapped around my wrists. I yanked my hands back as adrenaline scattered my body away from the demented form. I ran away, heart pounding, panic and tears blurring my vision almost as much as the leaves and branches that smacked my face as I escaped in a direction that I hoped would lead me to freedom. Atop the cliffside where I had dropped my phone, I paused long enough to catch my breath. Leaning against a picnic table was an old metal trekking pole with electrical tape wrapped around the worn-out handle. I grabbed the ancient hiking stick and leaned against it before starting back out of the forest when Andrew pulled himself over the cliffside. Without thinking, I brought the brass mud tip of the pole down onto Andrew's amorphous face, knocking a chunk of fleshy clay off in the process. Andrew dropped to his knees with flakes of ash rising from his body. The blob of his head formed into a grainy recreation of the face I had stared into for countless hours since we had met at the bar all those years ago.
I love you.
Spoken to me in a voice similar to that of an animal mimicking the words of a person. Smoke rose from the missing chunk in his head before his body fell into a confusing blend of shapes that I couldn't decipher. Tears streaming from my eyes, I turned away from my fiancé and fled from the forest around me. As I shuffled past the edge of the forest, I was greeted with the familiar sight of the bar I had met Andrew at so long ago. A small group of people smoking outside noticed me immediately and rushed over to me as I collapsed. The last of the adrenaline spent as safety from my living nightmare finally embraced me. I had been missing for 10 years. On the magical night I had met Andrew and thought that I had began an amazing life with my soulmate, I had, in reality, closed the bar after an empty night and walked directly into the forest behind the bar in a trance-like state. When my car was found the following morning by the bar owner, she called my phone to see if I was having car problems the night before. When I didn't answer, she checked the security footage to find me walking off into the forest. Her concern heightened as the grainy video displayed a strange shadow figure at the edge of the trees, seemingly luring me towards it. For 6 months, they searched the forest only to find my damaged phone and my lost shoe. The worst was assumed and my missing persons poster had circulated the state, but after all these years, I was assumed dead. Miraculously, I had somehow survived. Vastly malnourished at 70 pounds, patches of hair missing, several poorly healed scars littered my body. The worst of which were the scars around my wrists and ankles that reminded me too much of rope burn scars. The implications as terrifying as the monstrous forms Andrew had taken. There had never been an Andrew. I tried to tell myself that every day. But I still have all of these amazing memories of someone who truly loved me and all the memories we created together with friends. When I have explained the memories I have at the time since I left the bar all those years ago, I have been told it was my mind trying to protect itself, creating an imaginary world where everything was perfect to shield me from the hell I was actually living. Even as those memories began to fade, and I accept the reality that there never was an Andrew, I still miss him. I loved Andrew. He was my soulmate. He was my... When I wake up drenched in sweat from the night terrors of that final hike, one thought still lingers. What would have happened if I continued the fantasy with Andrew? Would I have ever escaped? Or would I still be lost in the forest?